Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to Brave New World programme. My name's John Harrison. The Doomsday Clock, which is a symbolic clock face representing a countdown to possible global catastrophe, for example, a nuclear war or climate change, is once again back at 3 minutes to midnight for the first time since the fall of the Soviet Union. The message is that the threat of nuclear war looms. But to what extent is such a threat real? Is it more rhetoric and saber-rattling than anything else? What role has the media played in spinning the nuclear threat scenario? I'm very happy to welcome to this programme for the first time Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, an American economist, author and blogger. Paul served for 1 year as an assistant secretary of the Treasury for economic policy in the Reagan administration. Welcome to the programme, Dr. Roberts.
Thank you.
Now, why is it that the nuclear threat is now once again upon us when, as Sergei Lavrov recently stated, there are no objective reasons for a Cold War, for a new Cold War?
It's on us because of the American neoconservative ideology of U.S. world hegemony. When the Soviet Union collapsed, the neoconservatives concluded that history had chosen the United States, the socioeconomic model of the United States, as the model for all countries, and that the United States had the right and the responsibility to impose this on the world. This is where you get the notion of exceptional, indispensable. It's always the Americans. So the most forceful statement of this ideology is by Paul Wolfowitz. He made this the foundation of United States foreign policy when he was a high official in the Pentagon, the Department of Defense. And the Wolfowitz Doctrine says that the principal goal of American foreign policy is to prevent the rise of any other state that could exercise sufficient power to block American unilateral action. Well, Russia has risen under Putin and has this capability and displayed it in Syria, in Iran. And therefore, the neoconservatives have turned on Russia and intend to destabilize it or create enough internal problems for Russia, such as Ukraine, to distract the Russians from interfering with the neoconservative hegemony in the world. This is the reason for the demonization of the Russian government, particularly its president, for the military bases on Russia's borders, for the anti-ballistic missiles, for the constant demonization that we now experience in the United States of Russia, where we have the leading candidate for the Democratic nomination as next president, Hillary Clinton, and now compares the president of Russia with Hitler. So what has happened disturbs me is that every American president during my lifetime, especially Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan, worked to create trust between the two major nuclear powers. And this was achieved with Reagan and Gorbachev, and it was supported by the George Herbert Walker Bush administration. But beginning with the Clinton administration, the trust that had been achieved was destroyed. It's been progressively destroyed. First Clinton, then George W. Bush, and now Obama. And when you destroy the trust between nuclear powers, you recreate the possibility of nuclear war, either by intent or by accident or miscalculation. So this is a reckless and irresponsible act on the part of Washington.
Dr. Roberts, I travel a lot, and when I was last in the UK, I saw a BBC documentary called World War III Inside the War Room, and it was about a supposed Russian invasion of Latvia. I don't know whether you've seen that or not. This sort of thing, these sort of programs and so-called documentary films, they seem to be spinning supposed perceived threats to a extent which is almost beyond belief. Do you see this as sort of some sort of information war, information battle that's going on?
I think it's more dangerous than that. What is happening?
Even more dangerous than that?
Yes, what's happening is the neoconservatives are preparing the American population and their NATO allies for military conflict with Russia. And this is part of the preparation. You know, we have now high-level figures in the United States government, in the United States military, who go to Congress and declare that Russia is an existential threat to the United States. Well, this is nonsense. It's just like Lavrov says, anybody can see there's no objective basis for this. The prospect of Russia invading Latvia is non-existent. What do they want to do that for? it's silly. But we have all of these accusations against Russia. You know, Russia invaded Ukraine. This is an absurdity, and yet most of the American public believe that. So you have to remember, what did before the war started in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria, it was constant demonization of the leaders, governments. You know, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. Assad uses chemical weapons. They had a whole packet of lies about Gaddafi. They were all over Iran, you know, Iranian nukes. So when you see these kinds of demonizations against Russia, it fits the pattern.
If we can just switch around then now to the weapons that may be used or not used in a future possible war situation. We've had Dmitry Medvedev, the Russian Prime Minister, just a few weeks ago talking about we are now actually in a new Cold War. Now, I remember the last Cold War, which is supposed to have ended around 1991 with the fall of the Soviet Union. It wasn't a hot war, although there were wars going on all over the world, but they were fairly small in comparison to a world war that could break out. Now, do you see us heading into a hot world war, or do you see us heading into a new cold world war?
You know, the hot war can come from the Cold War. One of the reasons for the Cold War, you know, I gave you one, which is the neoconservative ideology. The other, of course, is the massive American military security complex. This is a massive complex. It absorbs hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars, actually $1 trillion annually. And the companies, the private companies, their entire revenues come from serving the war capability of the United States government. And so they have a huge interest in having a major enemy. They tried to make this enemy out of terrorists, but it's not believable that a few scattered terrorists without any real state behind them is a threat, justifies $1 trillion a year. So the military security complex has a great interest in recreating the Russian threat. So part of this is just cover for their budget. But from the neoconservative standpoint, they actually regard any country with an independent foreign policy to be a threat to the United States. And so that part of the equation means that they can move the Cold War into a hot war. It only takes a certain amount of miscalculation. And when you destroy trust, for example, I don't see how any Russian government could trust one word said in Washington. Now, after all the evidence they've been given of demonization, misrepresentation, and all the threats that Washington brings to Moscow, it's not working the other way around. Moscow's not bringing threats to Washington, except the threat of having an independent foreign policy.
Yes, that's a pretty serious situation you're describing. Let's take a break here. Welcome back to Brave New World Program. Today we're talking about perceived nuclear threat in today's highly complex, highly weaponized world. I'm joined by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Now, this nuclear war lobby, nuclear arms lobby, I presume that it's based on the fact that the secure second strike capability, which makes it likely that nuclear weapons will ever be used, is being disregarded, because as any pacifist will tell me, that nuclear weapons is completely ridiculous. You can't use them, so why have them?
Well, you see, there are American neoconservatives who think they are usable, and they go around saying things like, what's the good of nuclear weapons if you can't use them? And they have this theory that the United States has sufficient superiority that they can launch a first strike on Russia and then have in place all of these anti-ballistic missile systems, so that the Russian government says, well, look, if we retaliate, maybe they'll intercept all of our missiles with their ABM systems, and then they'll hit us a second time, and so we'll just give up. So this is what you hear from some of these crazy people. You know, here's the real danger, in my view. The war, if it starts, could just as likely start from miscalculation and be conventional. But if the United States can't defeat a few thousand lightly armed Taliban after 15 years, they're going to get slaughtered by the Red Army, by the Russian Army. And so it will go nuclear because the United States is not prepared to lose.
There's another frightening scenario that I've been reading about, and I dismiss it as being hearsay, but there's a horrible sort of thought troubles me at night that maybe there's some truth in it. And the sort of argument I've been hearing is that actually some world leaders think that nuclear war can be won. You know, a different kind of thinking from the thinking during the Cold War and from the deterrent situation, that if you start a nuclear war, you can win it. So you've just said that the Americans could think that they can, you know, knock out all the Russian systems. Perhaps the Russians think the same thing, I don't know. But the point is, do you think it's possible for anybody to win a nuclear war? Because if it is, it changes the whole thing, doesn't it?
As far as I can tell, the vast majority of scientists think that it's totally impossible. You know, you have to keep in mind that the hydrogen weapons today are many, many times more powerful than the atomic bombs that the United States dropped on Japan. The last figure I saw is just the ordinary nuclear warhead today is 17,000 times more powerful. And I've just recently read that if just one of them exploded on the east coast of the United States, it would kill 20 million people. Just one. These weapons are MIRV. They have many warheads. There's thousands of them. And we have the scientists who explain the phenomenon of nuclear winter, that all of the dust and everything from such a war blocks the sun, and even the survivors starve to death because nothing can be grown. So even the ones that escape blasts and radiation, they're faced with this nuclear winter. So it seems to me that it's insane even to have these weapons. And the only ideology in the world today is the neoconservative one. You know, the communist ideology is gone. There's nobody out there competing to take over the world but Washington. So there's no reason for these types of weapons. They're too risky to exist. And so I think that the supremacy of the American neoconservatives and the supremacy of the military security complex, these are massive threats to the existence of life on Earth. And as long as the American vassal states that comprise NATO enable this neoconservative policy by accepting it, they magnify the chances of miscalculation, accident, or just outright decision to go to war. You have to remember now, if you've been watching the Republicans who are trying to gain the nomination for president, they have been competing on the basis of who can be the toughest with Russia. Well, this is madness. What do they want to be tough with Russia for? The Russians aren't threatening anybody.
The American elections, you know, the nominations that are going on now are quite interesting, though, I find. And I'm very disappointed, of course, that Bernie Sanders seems to have been sidelined or in the process of being sidelined, although I hate to say it because it seems to me he's the only candidate with a sort of more reasonable and a mature view on things. I may be wrong. What's your opinion, please, Dr. Roberts?
Well, I agree with that opinion that Bernie Sanders is the only candidate that has a lick of sense. All the Republicans, including Trump, are out there being macho tough guys. In fact, that's Trump's strength. You know, Hillary is clearly a warmonger. And my view has always been that the American political establishment would not allow any outsider to become president. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I'm afraid we've got to stop the program here, although I'd like to carry on very much. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Roberts, for being with us today. Very pessimistic program, I have to say, but a reality check. Thank you very much.
Brave New World.